Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk, David Fry. Wow, this is pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's nice to be on and be able to talk about my favorite things, my dogs and my dog people.
Absolutely. And David, I've known you for pretty close to 30 years now, back to the Seattle days.
Us left coasters, yes.
Yep, exactly. And I am very happy that you're joining me as a special guest on our Mentor Monday program. And I think it's really important because in a lot of ways, your voice at Westminster Kennel Club for close to 30 years has been, for some people, their first introduction to purebred dogs.
Well, I feel that pressure, really. I mean, when I started doing the show in 1990 for the first time, I was just kind of making it up as I went. But over 27 years, I think I was able to bring it around to be something more than just, and I say just in quotes, but more than just the world's greatest dog show, but rather have it become a celebration of all the dogs in our lives, purebred and otherwise. And I think that's part of the pressure, is talking to people about responsible ownership and talking to people about purebred dogs and talking to people about the great joys that our dogs can bring us outside of the show ring as well as in the show ring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you've done a beautiful job with that. So we're talking today about a couple things. First, we're going to talk about the Beverly Hills Dog Show presented by Purina and hosted by the Kennel Club of Beverly Hills. And then we're going to pick your brain a little bit and we're going to get some ideas from the master about how some of our local clubs can use some of your wisdom to grow their shows. So let's start with the Beverly Hills Dog Show. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this red carpet walkway. This is kind of like mind-boggling to me.
Well, you know, for most people, when you think of Beverly Hills, you think of, you know, the stars and the glamour and the glitz and the red carpet walkways and things like that. So why not incorporate that into this dog show for television? Let's get some celebrities involved and let's dress up the show a little bit so it looks like maybe a Hollywood event, if you will. And I think that's what makes it fun. When the people at NBC talked to me about coming to work for them full time, they said we would like to have another dog show in addition to the National Dog Show presented by Purina on Thanksgiving Day. And I said, that's great. I said, we've got three great dog shows on television, but they're all in the East. We've got Westminster, we've got the National Dog Show in Philadelphia, and we've got the AKC Championship in Orlando, Florida. So me, of course, being a West Coast guy originally.
And we love you for
West
it,
Coast
David.
Guy, well, thank you. Thank you. I'm learning about the time zone differences again. But anyway, I said, let's get a show in the West, because you look at Westminster through the years, the biggest entry for a number of years, and certainly it's remained the number two entry for years, for a lot of years, is California. So we've got a lot of great dog people in California, and it's a great place to have a dog show. So the sun is out, the weather's warm, it's not like February in Manhattan. We're going to have fun with it in that respect, and you may have seen some of the ads that we shot for it, where John O'Hurley and I are standing there in our board shorts and flip-flops, and we've got surfboards and palm trees and dogs in sunglasses. So to contrast that with the other shows they may see during the course of the year, we're going to have fun with it. It's going to be a great show. John O'Hurley, my partner once again, Mr. Peterman from Seinfeld. We've been partners for 15 years for the National Dog Show, and he lives in Beverly Hills. So
perfect.
It's a home game for him, and we're going to have fun with it.
I love it.
The dog show is actually on March 4th and 5th. The Kennel Club of Beverly Hills changed their venue, changed their date. They now have back-to-back shows Saturday, Sunday at the Fairplex in Pomona. As dog show people know, that's the site of the great Mission Circuit, one of the great clusters in the sport. And it's a great site for a dog show. People say, geez, Beverly Hills and Pomona, that doesn't make much sense. Well, you know what? Look at all the professional sports teams nowadays that have their stadiums in the suburbs. The New York Giants play their home games in New Jersey, for God's sake. So it's not unlike that. You have to go where the facilities are. And Beverly Hills doesn't have 100,000 square feet for dog shows and parking. So it makes sense for us to be in a place that is good for the exhibitors and is convenient for spectators. And being in Pomona is going to be a great site for us. So anyway, on March 4th and 5th, back to back.
It airs on Easter
Sunday,
right?
Taping the show on the 4th. Yeah, taping the show on the Saturday show on the 4th. And then it will air in a 2-hour entertainment special on Easter Sunday, which is April 16th on the USA Network. It repeats the next morning on USA and repeats a week later on Sunday the 23rd on NBC. So we've got the best of all worlds, and I'm sure that we will be able to have a great audience. The people who are doing this show are the people who for the last many years have been my production people at Westminster when Westminster was on USA Network, which is owned by NBC. And they're people that are used to doing dog shows. They're used to doing the national dog show, and they do a great job of putting dogs on TV. Now, we're going to do a lot of other things, too, with the Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I wanted to hear about the special events. You had some very cool special events that you were talking about, David.
Well, we of course, are still working on celebrity involvement. We'll have some noted Hollywood celebrities there. I think paperwork is still going on with most of them, so we're not ready to give out names. But for now, certainly the celebrity of John O'Hurley looms large for us, but he's become a great dog person through the years, I hope with my help. And we have Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski, the great skaters, have been involved with the National Dog Show. They're wonderful dog people and great fun to have around. So they are part of our presentation as well. And, of course, Mary Carrillo, NBC's star of Olympic coverage and on HBO's Real Sports Show with Bryant Gumbel, she will be there as well, working in the back, talking to people in the grooming area and talking about human interest stories and great fun things with the dogs. So we'll add to that a few Beverly Hills / Hollywood stars, and we think it's going to be a fun show for everybody.
I love that. So talk to us a little bit about some of the special events. There's to be a handler makeover and some working dog discussion. So tell us a little bit about that.
We are doing a handler makeover, and we asked for volunteers. So you have to volunteer yourself, because I don't want to get anybody in trouble when they suggest that their friend needs a makeover. I didn't want to do that. And I also was smart enough to remove myself from the judging process.
Yes, so good choice.
So that I had nothing to do with picking the winner, but we had over 40 responses from people who were interested in going through a makeover. So Johnny and Tara are going to take them shopping in Beverly Hills, and I work with them a little bit on their makeup and hair and stuff. But mostly, it's going to be a fun time to help people feel a little better about themselves when they're running around in the ring. They don't often get the chance to think about. They're so busy thinking about how their dog looks, they sometimes forget about what they're wearing.
True
and
enough.
We all know in the dog show world, it's not an easy thing to do, especially for women who have to be bending over or running in certain shoes that really are not made to be run in. Guys, it's easy. We got plenty of pockets. We got shoes that we can wear, and it's easy enough for us to run around. But for the ladies especially, when they go to the St. John's store and try to find a beautiful dress with pockets in it, it doesn't always happen.
No, no. And St.
We'll
John's knit. Happens. Can we just avoid the St. John's knit? Can I just put a plug here? Sorry, man.
I thought you might want some future sponsorship in there.
Yes, well.
keep that open.
Yeah, I think it's really important. One of the things that I was reading about, you have set up a situation where the proceeds from the spectators, the gate, will be going to a certain charity. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure, and this kind of falls into the idea of local clubs getting involved with their local communities. Beverly Hills is Beverly Hills, but it still is like any other local club in that you're a member of your community, and the things that you do in your community with your dogs and with your dog show are things that reflect back on dog ownership and dogs everywhere. And what we were lucky enough to do, we wanted to find a charity that made sense for all of us. I have a special attachment to Therapy Dog Program, so I went to the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, and they have a thriving, I mean more than thriving, therapy dog program. And the Ammerman Family Foundation has what they call, it's the Ammerman Family Foundation Dog Therapy Program. They have over 100 volunteer teams that are part of their program. They have a full-time staff person that oversees it. It's a great partner, a great charity partner for the club in the community, doing good things for dogs and kids who are patients there and their families and staff at the hospital as well. So a dollar for every ticket sold goes to the foundation to support the therapy dog program there. And that's kind of exciting because one of the things that that does is it brings in, we're hearing a lot about that these days, but it brings in the non-purebred dog into our circle of influence. That there are a number of dogs that are involved in the program that are not purebred dogs, but we want to show the world that we support all dogs. We want a better life for all dogs, whether it's being part of our family or doing something beyond that like therapy dog work. And we want to be supportive of that and do things that are good and noted in our community. So that's one way of getting involved. And I think that's so important that, you know, our role is not just in promoting the purebred dogs, it's promoting responsible ownership and educating people about the purebred dog, but also educating them about how to find the right dog for your family, no matter what dog that may be, no matter what breed or mixed breed that may be. You have to make sure you're getting the right dog that fits your family, fits your lifestyle, so that a dog like that, if it disappoints you later, you don't turn around and run it to the shelter because it grew up to be something you weren't ready for. I always say to people, you know, every dog is a cute little 3-pound ball of fluff at some point or another. And if you're buying them when they're cute little balls of fluff, and that's the reason you're getting them, you're going to be surprised later when the dog grows up to be an 85-pound dominant dog, then that may not be the right dog for you. If you're an athlete and you want to run a couple of miles every day, and you buy yourself a dog that's not right for that, like a bulldog or a French bulldog or some of these dogs that aren't used to doing that kind of running, you're going to be disappointed. The dog's going to be disappointed too, because the dog wants to do stuff with you. And the more things that you can do with your dog, that's great. If you sit at home at night and watch TV and that's the most important thing to you, get a dog that can sit on the couch next to you and have fun. And there's a lot of stuff in between, too. If you just want a dog that you can go places with, that you can turn loose on the beach, that you can throw a ball for in the park, I think those are all important considerations. And that's part of our job in the purebred dog world and in the dog show world. When these families and people are walking around at our dog show, it's important for all of us to grab onto them and say, hey, how do you like my dog? Or are you thinking about getting a dog? And they may say, you know what? Yeah, I'm thinking about getting a dog like yours, a beagle. Tell me about beagle. Or maybe they come up to you and say, you know, I've got a beagle, and he just turned 2 years old, and now he's starting to do this, this, and this. What am I going to do about that? And the owner, the people, the breeders, the people who have grown up with these dogs and these breeds for their whole lives, some of them, for generations in their families, maybe you can answer that question, and suddenly the dog goes from being a problem to being a happy member of the family again. And we talk about all those things, whether it's training or just socialization or just making sure your dog is healthy and happy and getting the right diet and things like that. I think those are all things that we can contribute. We can make people aware of how important that kind of stuff is. And that's what a dog show is supposed to do, whether you're there in person or whether you're watching us on television. And I'm going on and on here. You can throw
I'm laughing. I'm laughing out loud, literally, because you must have read my notes, because my question was, why is mainstream televised shows, why are these important? So I'm like, boom, he already did it for me. It's a genius.
Well, I got three reasons for people to watch our show. One, they're going to watch the competition. It's just the good old American way. We want to see who's going to win. Who's the best dog today? But I also think they're watching us for entertainment. We've got over 160 different breeds and varieties, up to as many as 202 that are recognized right now by the AKC. So there's some entertainment. You get that great variety. You're going to see something of every size, shape, hair, color you ever right. want to see. And you're also going to hear about what they were bred to do, and that's going to give you an idea about why they look the way they do, what their condition needs are, what their grooming needs are, what their personalities and temperaments are like, and why that happens. And hopefully, when I'm talking about a breed generically on TV, I'm able to say to you, you know, here's what this dog was bred to do. That's why they're herding your children around in your living room. So that's part of the deal, too. But I also think, and this is the most, I think is the greatest reason that people watch, and it's the most fun, is what I call the alma mater factor. If I'm sitting at home with my Brittany, I want to see the Brittany on TV, and we're going to root for the Brittany together. And I say, you know, Grace, you and I could be out there doing that.
Right.
Maybe I gave you a bath every 2 weeks instead of every 2 months. And if we did a little road work, both of us, and if we did a little training, that looks like it would be fun for us to do. I can't hit a golf ball 250 yards like some of these golf guys, and I can't go to the hoop on LeBron James, but I can get out in the show ring with my dog and compete with anybody else who's out there and probably do just as good a job as any professional hitter, perhaps. So I think that's part of why people are watching us, too, and I hope
I
that's
love that.
One of the things that, well, it's a great family sport. You know that,
yep.
Laura. I mean,
I grew up in it.
We know people in our world that have, you've grown up in it. We know people that are in the third generation or maybe even fourth generation being involved with,
yep,
with dogs and dog shows. And I mean, even like I was using this illustration the other day about Pat Trotter winning her 11th group at Westminster. I said, you know what? Well, this is her impact on her breed in her world that for years, I always called them Craig Hounds, which was her,
yes,
original name, Pat Craig. I said, we always called them Craig Hounds. Nobody called them Elk Hounds. We called them Craig Hounds because,
yep,
it's her dog, you know, or Kathy Coonhound, you know,
right,
after Kathy,
right, Kathy Corbett.
Black and Coonhounds. She was,
yeah,
always Kathy Coonhound. So,
yep,
it's great things that our sport can bring to people and bring to their families and bring to individuals and having a sense of accomplishment, but also a sense of having the dog that you love and doing something with them, whether it's in the show ring or taking a trip or going to the hospital and visiting sick kids. And I think these are all things we try to bring out in our telecast and tell people how lucky you are to have a dog. Now do the right thing for them and take good care of them and find something for them to do.
Okay, so I'm going to put one in here. I'm not trying to poke any holes at anybody, but I want to talk a little bit about how we're going to balance the respect for our sport with the glitz and the glam of Hollywood. And it's become a topic of conversation. So let's talk,
absolutely,
about how we do that properly.
Well, I think the main thing is the message that I've always given. I was on the Ellen Show once and introduced Paris Hilton. And she came out carrying her chihuahuas in her handbag. But I was handing the introductions that day on Ellen's show. And that was kind of fun. That's a whole different story. But I always say, hey, you Hollywood people, these dogs are not fashion accessories. I said, yeah, they may look good with you, but make sure that you're doing other things with them as well as taking them with you and going to the places that you go. And it's kind of fun. My Angel Unleashed charity was involved with a doggy fashion show called the New Yorkie Runway that raised money for our charity in New York City. And yeah, we have fun with the dogs, and sometimes we'll dress them up, and sometimes the dogs are into it, and sometimes they're not. But we want to know that the dogs are a part of your life, and if you want to make them glamorous and be part of it, that's great, but they don't have to be glamorous. They can be, quote, just my dog sitting next to me on the couch and doing things with me and waiting for me to drop something on the floor or waiting for me to toss the tennis ball. That this is what we need to show in the room, what great joys our dogs bring us. We also want to show, because in our sport, we also want to show that we believe that we're real people. We're not just dog show people, that our dogs are real dogs. They don't just sit around in our homes all week long eating doggy bonbons, sitting on doggy cushions, and then going to dog, dressing them up a little bit and taking them to dog shows on weekends. That my dog will pee on the floor every once in a while. My dog barks at the neighbor or barks at the mailman or barks at the toll booth operator or steals food off my counters or maybe even drinks out of a toilet once in a while.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
My dog is a real dog. And it just happens that I get to take him to dog shows on Saturday and Sunday, which is usually, hopefully, fun for the dog. It's fun for me. I've got a great social circle because of my involvement in dogs. The people that are in my world are mostly people from the dog show world. And look at what a great life it's given me personally to be able to do these kinds of things. See, I never had a dog as a kid. And I didn't grow up with a dog. And I tell the story all the time. I'm moving into my own house in college, and my girlfriend said, let's get a dog. And I said, oh, great. I said, okay. You know, guys don't say anything to their girlfriend. Benefit in it somewhere. And I said, what kind? And she said, how about an Afghan hound? I said, what the hell is that? We got an Afghan hound, brought it home. It was about 12 weeks old, brought it home. 3 weeks later, the girl left, the dog stayed, and it was the best thing that could have happened to all three of us. But that led me into meeting other people with Afghan hounds, meeting,
right,
people who are involved in the dog show world, meeting people who became mentors to me in the dog show world, brought me to a certain level of participation in the dog show world, which then eventually introduced me to the Westminster people who offered me a job, yada, 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 and here I am. So here you are today. That's right. My dogs have brought me great things in my world and in my life, and I thank them every day for letting me be the guy on the other end of the leash, and I think everybody needs to do that. Look down at that dog and say, you know what? What a great day. Let's go do something. Let's go sit on the deck at the Driftwood restaurant and have a glass of wine.
Excellent answer.
Here, and let's go do that.
So I think one thing that I'd like to talk about in closing, I think it'd be a great, it's a little off where I was going to go, but I like this idea. Talk to me about some of your early mentors. We're on Mentor Monday. Who were your mentors? Who helped you? Who brought you along in Afghans? Who brought you along in Brittany's? Where did you get your mentorship? Where did you get your guidance that brought you to where you are today?
Well, in Afghan Hounds, you know, I got my first Afghan in Oregon when I was still in college. And then right after that, went into the service, went into the Army and was stationed at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C. And I made it a point to call up Wally Fiday and say, Wally, I've seen you and your dogs in ads. I'd never met him. I said, I'd like to come down and see your dogs and talk about Afghan Hounds. And that was the beginning of a great relationship that still exists to this day. And that would have been more than 40 years ago. That Wally took us in like we were family and taught me about dogs and took me to dog shows. I got to meet a lot of other dog show people and then got more involved in dog shows. And from that, I married into a level of involvement with Sandy Whittington. She was already pretty successful, but we took it to a whole nother level. Ended up with a great winning Afghan hound, champion Storm Hill's Who's Zoom and Who. And she was the top Afghan in the country one year and retired as the top winning female in the history of the breed with 20 all breed best. Traveling with her was how I really got to meet and visit with the people from Westminster with Chet Collier, who is the guy that I would give all my props to for getting me so involved with Westminster. He was had just become president, stepped down as show chair at that point, but was involved with building the Fox News channel. But he hired me to do the television for Westminster in 1990, and we did an audition tape together. They liked it, I liked it. I thought, God, this will be fun for a few years. Let's see what happens. And 27 years later, I'm stepping off of that and heading to do things with NBC that are great fun as well. So Chet, yes, certainly. In Afghans, my mentors, of course, was Sandy and Sandy's mom, Jenny, a number of other people along the way. In Brittany's, I got Sherry, my wife, came to me with two Brittany's. That got me deeply involved with Brittany's. I love my Brittany's dearly. We dabbled in the show world.
I remember seeing you at a hunt test up in Washington a million years ago with the Brittany's. And I thought, yeah. Good on you, Dave. Good on you.
I love the hunt test. It's great fun, but it was a long ways away from being in the show ring all the time.
Yes.
But we had great fun with that. But my Brittany's also got me very involved in therapy dog work because they were ideal therapy dogs, Ty and Bell. So that's how we got involved with them in the year 2000. And Sherry had just gone back to school to get her master's in theology and was writing her master's paper on animal-assisted therapy. And a mutual friend introduced us because she had heard me talking about therapy dogs on the Westminster telecast. So I helped her with her therapy dog work, and I was kind of the wrangler for her dogs when she was presenting papers working on her master's.
Right,
and then it got me more and more involved with the therapy dog world. I started visiting at an AIDS hospice in Seattle was the first place that I was there regularly. And then when we moved to New York, we expanded what we did, created Angel on a Leash, the charity that created and administered therapy dog programs all over New York City and the Northeast and a few places around the country. So she was my great mentor there. But people like Nancy Morabito and Jeannie White and the world of Britain. And there have been a lot of people along the way. I could never, and even, you know, what I do every day, I have people that help me every day. And I say there's a lot of things that come, a lot of words that come out of my mouth that are coming out of somebody else's brain.
Because that started somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah, because I've had a lot of help from people because I think people understand and take me very seriously when I say I feel a great pressure. Because of all these things that have happened to me and where I am today, I feel a great pressure of representing our sport and our dogs to the, quote, outside world. And I want your help to do that. And I've never hesitated to ask people for their help. I said, I need to know about Vishlas. So I call Bud McGiver, my Vishla friend, and he fills me in. Or I'm getting this kind of question about animal rights issues. So I call Patty Strand, the NAIA person, who's been a great mentor to me through the years in issues like that. But I've had help every step of the way, and I want to keep doing that, and I want to keep enlisting people in helping me reach the people that are important for the future of our dogs, whether it's in the dog show ring or in the therapy dog world or just sitting at our feet as we're watching television.
I think that's great, Dave. David, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. You have been a wonderful mentor to many of us and a great shining example. And I wish you the very best of luck with the Beverly Hills Dog Show. And I will see you there.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you. I'll see you there. It'll be very soon. But thank you so much for having me on. And best to everybody out there. We'll see you at the dog show.
Thanks for joining us on Pure Dog Talk. And now, a quick message from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. It's Monday. Hey guys, entries close at noon on Wednesday. Why not get them in early? Save yourselves the headaches. That's all for now. Thanks for listening. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.